This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. It's right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Dolphins show here on the Team 980, always live as well on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio to YouTube at the Team 980. And there's a pretty big scandal brewing at the NFLPA offices. In fact, there's a lot of scandals. It's multi-layered, to say the least, and one of the lead reporters on it is going to join us today for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Kaylin Kaler is with us. She, along with our friend Don Van Natta, have written a series of pieces now for ESPN, exposing a pretty big story within the NFL and specifically the NFLPA. Kaylin, thanks for your time. Thanks for your reporting. I'm excited to dive into this with you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So Lloyd Howell, the executive director of the NFL Player Association, he seems like he's in a bit of hot water here. There's been a lot of stories about him over the last couple of months. There are some investigations into the NFLPA's finances. And then there's the Pablo Torre Finds Out episode where Pablo and his team dive into this settlement document that alleges that NFL owners conspired to suppress player salaries, and then he hid that full document from players. And now you have, Kaylin, this story that you and Don wrote that came out this morning about how he is also working for the Carlyle Group, a consulting firm that many in the DC area will be familiar with. And that's super weird. It'd be weird in general because like NFLPA executive director is a full-time gig, but the Carlyle Group is also now working to potentially buy part of an NFL franchise. There is a lot here. Where did you dive in to this story? What is the thing that was the hook for you, whether it was a tip, whether it's someone calling you, whether it's the Pablo podcast? Like, when did you get involved in this story and in what capacity?
Yeah, so actually this goes back almost 3 years. I actually broke the news that the PA was suing the league for collusion, that Lee Smith had filed this grievance back in October of 2022. So I'd been paying attention to it ever since then. And then when Pablo, I kept asking, like, what happened with it? What happened with it? What happened with it? And I was hitting, you know, I was getting stonewalled at every point. And actually, I think I made calls about it in April to be like, hey, did we ever see the decision? Did anybody ever see this decision? Because Florio, I believe it was Florio, Mike Florio with Pro Football Talk, who had reported that the PA lost the grievance, and that's all we knew. But then 2 weeks ago, Pablo Torre got the full 61-page decision. And from there, I was like, okay, wow. Now we have a lot to work with because we can see what was actually said, what the arbitrator actually decided in this decision. And a lot of it was really interesting from a union point of view. There were texts from owners that looked weird. You know, the Chargers owner texted the Cardinals owner thanking him for the contract he did with Kyler Murray because the Chargers owner was going to have his own contract with Justin Herbert coming up next, and he appreciated that Michael Bidwell didn't guarantee a ton of money to Kyler Murray. There were emails from the management council and Roger Goodell that showed that the management council had presented to owners and encouraged them to reduce guaranteed money in player contracts. telling them that would be a smart choice. So all of that was really interesting to see. And so Don and I started digging into it at that point when Pablo got the decision, because we were wondering, well, why didn't the NFLPA publish this decision? Why didn't they share it with the media? Why didn't they, you know, who did they share it with? And then we found out from sources that the PA had not even shared the decision, like copies of the decision, the full decision, with their player executive committee or with their player representatives, the 32 players that are nominated from each club. Those important members of the union did not know the details of this grievance, decision. All they knew was the PA had lost. And we thought that was really interesting. So then we learned that the NFL and the NFLPA had entered into a confidentiality agreement about this decision. The parties agreed they would not publicize, they would not publish the copies of this decision, and it would remain private. And in the CBA, if you read the CBA, in the section of system arbitration and confidentiality, it says that the player executive committee and player representatives are among the group of people, along with senior executives of the NFL and the NFLPA and the member clubs who are associated with the grievance. They are among the groups of people that are allowed inside this like confidentiality circle. But in this case, they were not. And so we wanted to find out what was going on here. And in the course of reporting about the confidentiality agreement, we learned that the NFLPA planned to appeal the grievance. We reported that yesterday, and they plan to file an appeal on this grievance. And then we learned that the NFL is going to be filing a claim to recoup legal fees from the union. And then we learned that Lloyd, as you mentioned, in addition to being the executive director, is also a part-time consultant working for the Carlyle Group. And when he took the job, it was before he was the union executive director. It was about 3 months before. And that was at a point in time when the Carlyle Group had not yet been approved by the NFL to invest in NFL clubs. That happened last August. But when I talked to Jim Quinn, who was a former outside counsel for the PA, he represented the PA for about 25 years. And honestly, he was outraged by learning this about Lloyd. He said he would have expected Lloyd to resign from the Carlyle Group position as soon as he became the executive director of the PA, because he said in his experience, he represented the PA when Gene Upshaw and Dee Smith were the executive directors. He said those two never were able to get paid for outside work. That was just not an ability that they had. He said it's because their job is to represent the players, and that is their first and foremost job. And right now, it seems like the optics, the perception of the union director being a part-time consultant for a private equity firm is bad enough. But then the private equity firm is able to invest in an NFL club is even worse. And Jim Quinn, I'm just going to read a quote he said because it was really interesting. He said, "It would be an outrageous conflict for the head of a labor union to have an interest in a third party that is aligned with the NFL. The relationship between a labor organization and the employer organization is adversarial by definition. And as a result, as a leader, you have to be absolutely clear and clean as to having even no opinion of conflict."
That seems pretty logical to me. And what we have here, yeah, Kaylin, is like a Russian nesting doll of NFLPA nonsense. This feels like the doll on the very inside, or maybe the one on the very outside. But I want to go all the way back to the initial issue here, which is the lawsuit. And then we'll get to some of the other stuff with Howell, et cetera. But this initial lawsuit, which is you broke years ago at this point, is on the heels of the Deshaun Watson contract, where the Browns, very stupidly from a football analysis standpoint, nevertheless, the precedent-setting nature of it, give Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed contract. And the league ultimately finds ways to say, and this is in the reporting, the reporting that Pablo did that you guys have also now seen in this 61-page document, that like, yeah, the league was like, hey, don't do that. No other owner. Please do not give players guaranteed money. That also seems like a very logical thing to want. Like if you're an owner and the way the NFL salary cap is structured, that it's like, yeah, the void years are really important to making the cap work. It's not like players aren't making a lot of money. So when you look at that document and you think about the PA now appealing the finding that there was no collusion, even though there's a lot of evidence clearly that it wasn't clean. What do you make of that initial or the chances of appeal and what that could mean for the league? Like, how threatening is that for the league?
It's hard to say because the PA did not give us any information about what the nature of the appeal is, or even specifically what it is within it that they're appealing. I mean, obviously they didn't win, but we don't know the specifics of what this appeal entails. And they gave us one, you know, there was, they just didn't give us anything as far as to what this appeal is. We only know from a source familiar with the situation that they are in fact appealing. And so the nature of the appeal, we don't know. And so I can't say exactly how serious this would be, but like in conversations that I've had with, you know, people who have worked in the union and who are experts in this area, I mean, there was so much in that decision that the arbitrator chose to include and is now public and involving communications with the league and even Goodell and the owners. And that the discovery in the original grievance was limited to the three quarterbacks, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, and Kyler Murray. And if there is an appeal, and if you were able to file more grievances off of it, you know, you could expand it. Like, I think people wonder all the time, what about running backs? Like, running backs for a long time have felt like teams have been, you know, I guess, working together to limit their compensation, right? Because the position had been devalued for a while. So there is a lot, just this topic of collusion, there's a lot more that if you were to file more grievances or appeal and there's a process further of more discovery, I mean, I think there's a lot more that you could get as far as evidence of collusion between owners and between teams and between the league office. And the next step for this specific scenario is that it's going to go to a 3-person panel who's going to rule on it. But, you know, at the time we reported this, the NFLPA had notified the NFL they were going to file the appeal, but they had not actually filed it yet. So we're very early in this process.
Gotcha.
Even though it's 6 months after the decision, like, it took right. them a long time to make this action.
And their executive director to be under a lot of fire for not doing things that seem to be in the best interest of the players, which seems like potentially a relevant plot point. Kaylin Kaler, ESPN investigative reporter, their national NFL reporter, with us here on the Hoffman Show. And I think there's like a whole separate interesting discussion about, I think, some of the more market forces meet collusion. It's like, if everybody's trying to do the same thing, as long as they don't collaborate, that's just market forces. If they collaborate to artificially suppress, that's right. collusion. And that's, again, we could talk about that for probably an hour. But then we'd have a lot of these Russian nesting dolls, so to speak, that we didn't touch, and we need to touch, go and figure out more on them. So Lloyd Howell is the guy now at the center of all of this. He is the executive director. He'd be in charge of, you know, leading the potential appeals process. He's in charge of this collusion, potentially, to keep this finding away from people that should have seen it based off the CBA points that you referenced earlier. Before all this started to blow up, especially in the last, you know, month or so, Kaylin, when you talk to people around the NFL, players, you know, especially like higher ranking players in the PA, about Lloyd Howell, what did they think of him?
Honestly, I didn't. It wasn't like I was hearing from the masses that no one, you know, that there was problems. I wasn't hearing that at all. But also, I wasn't necessarily going into this beforehand asking players what they think of Lloyd. Honestly, this collusion grievance is sort of the first time that I really was like looking into Lloyd's role and how he's managing and directing this union. He was elected in July of 2023. And I would say the thing that I have talked to players about since is his election, because Pablo Torre did a great job of pointing out that JP Treader led a vote. I mean, the players had to vote to approve this, but to change the Constitution, a bylaw in the Constitution, which had to do with the amount of time before an election that the player representatives would learn about the candidates. And the player representatives voted to change that bylaw so that they had, I think it's I think they changed it to not knowing who the candidates were in an election until like the day, the time of the vote, essentially.
Right.
So instead of having, you know, I think they had 4 weeks previously, instead of having multiple weeks to ask questions, to do research, to learn about the candidates, the players voted to change it to a very in much smaller timeline there for them to know who these candidates are. And the reason they did that, the reason that players told me that JC brought this to them and that they decided it was a good idea is for confidentiality purposes, so that candidates would not remove themselves from the running, because many of these candidates have other jobs. And if they didn't want their other jobs to find out that they were interviewing and trying to leave, essentially. So that was the reason given to players. And the players that I talked to at the time, they thought that was very logical and they didn't have any issues with it. And at the time they thought Lloyd was the best candidate. And now I think is sort of the beginning of where people are starting to question what's going on here. And not even necessarily players. I talked to one former player representative, one current player representative, who both were unsure about the scenario, not particularly with Lloyd's leadership, but just wondering why they had not known the details of this collusion grievance. Both of the players I talked to were hopeful that there is a good reason for it, a pro-player reason for the NFLPA entering into this confidentiality agreement with the NFL and choosing to keep the contents of this decision private. Both of the players said, you know, I'm assuming there's a long-term strategy here, but they both expressed that they would like to know what that strategy is, and they would feel better about it if they'd been communicated with. And both of them said that they hadn't received any sort of communication from the union regarding this decision, even after, you know, you would think after the decision leaked, they may hear something from the union, but they both said that they had not heard anything. So as far as players go, that would be what I've heard so far.
So when we look, as Caitlin Kaler, national NFL reporter for ESPN, is with us again, her stories at this point with Don Van Natta on this whole situation, NFLPA corruption writ large, we'll say, or potential corruption writ large, available to read on ESPN.com. And if this interests you, I highly recommend like reading all of the reporting. We need to do a 3-hour show totally with Caitlin to get into all of this. So when you get to the Carlisle Group stuff and you discover this along the way of reporting it, where it's like, well, here's this other conflict of interest. And, you know, Pablo and his podcast, you know, kind of went into a lot of the potential conflicts and weirdness around his election and his relationship with Treader and all of this stuff. As you get into the Carlisle Group, like, and you are talking to whether it's the former outside counsel from Wilmer Harrell that you referenced earlier, or players, or whoever else you're talking to around this story, was this all new information to them? How shocking is it? And like, ultimately, I guess the question here, Caitlin, is like, are we going to see some kind of, and what methods exist to potentially challenge Lloyd's position here and potentially replace him and get new leadership as the executive director of the PA if enough folks that are in positions of power and players especially think that that's necessary?
So, good questions. I would say in a lot of the conversations that I've had, a lot of this has been new information to people that I've talked to, including people who probably should know. Like the player representative I spoke to earlier, he said, you know, it's not, he's like, he can't say for sure that he didn't know about Lloyd and the Carlisle Group. He doesn't remember it at all. He said, I remember us when we were, you know, learning about Lloyd to elect him. I remember learning about his career at Booz Allen before he was the union director.
Which, and by the way, Caitlin, I should add real quick, like that career is incredibly controversial because of some stuff that happened with a whistleblower complaint that also was in your and Pablo's reporting and also is available to read about in, say, the Washington Post or any other major newspaper in terms of the end of his run as CFO at Booz Allen.
Yeah, a lot of interesting things going on there as well. But this player remembered Booz Allen. He remembered talking about Lloyd's role on the GE board, because he does have a role on three corporate boards. And then he didn't remember the Carlisle Group, though. He's like, I'm not going to say it never came up, but it's not something that was made such a big deal that I would remember it. So That was interesting. So I would say a lot of the conversations I've had with people for this story, about this story, since the story came out, a lot of this was news to them, and especially the Carlisle role, the Carlisle Group role, that has been really surprising to a lot of people. Like, I've had, you know, I've been texting with a bunch of people and on the phone with a bunch of people today, whether they work for teams or are agents, people in that capacity who are just shocked by that, honestly, are like, oh my God, like, what is going on? Just a lot of like questions of like, what is going on at the union? As far as what happens next for Lloyd, I mean, we reported that the executive committee has retained a law firm, WilmerHale. Last month hired Ronald C. Matchin of the law firm WilmerHale to work with a special committee of players within that executive committee to review Howell's activities as the executive director. So, you know, that is an investigation of sorts internally. They've hired a law firm to do that. So I think that, you know, says a lot about how serious the union, the executive committee, is taking this, where, you know, they've hired a lawyer to help investigate and inspect Lloyd's activities as executive director. So I don't know how long that is going to take. I don't know if we even know the full scope of everything that this Ronald Matchin is going to be looking at. But I think that is the next step, clearly, that the union is taking here. And after that, I actually meant to look this up in the Constitution earlier today and haven't done it yet, as far as what is the process for removing an executive director of the union, and if it's ever happened before. And off the top of my head right now, I don't have an answer to that, but I do plan to like do a little bit of reading about that today, because I don't know if that's in the cards here, but it seems like, you know, if there's investigating him, then anything's possible, probably.
Yeah. And I will say I don't know if there has been. I feel like most of my life there has been one of two guys running it, Gene Upshaw or Demora Smith. Although there was someone, apparently, just a quick Google search, Richard Berthson from 2008 to 2009. I don't remember Richard's run at all. I don't know whether that was an interim thing. So maybe there's your answer. But yeah, for literally all but like five of the last 30 oh God, almost 40 something years. It's been one of two guys. So definitely not a lot of room for removal, certainly unprecedented. And Kaylin's been doing a great job reporting on all of this. Again, there's so much to bite off here. So make sure you read the full context of everything, ESPN.com. Kaylin, this was great. Thanks so much for joining us, and continued luck in finding out more things that we don't even know have gone wrong yet.
Thank you so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, You can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Coming up at 6 o'clock, Keith Law, The Athletic senior baseball writer, former Major League Baseball executive. He has been the best scout in media for a long time when it comes to the college game and putting together draft boards, all that kind of stuff. So think about Mel Kiper, less bits, but baseball kind of deal in terms of longevity. Maybe not as long as Kiper has. Kiper's been doing it since the 80s, but like truly the best doing it. Keith Law is going to join us at 6 o'clock, not only with his thoughts on the Rizzo situation, where the Nats are, but also the Major League Baseball draft is this weekend. And so checking in with Keith when the Nats have the number one overall pick feels like a good use of our time. So we'll do that coming up at 6 o'clock. Right now, though, it is, believe it or not, Anthony, it's Thursday. I know it's easier for you to believe than me if you don't know what I'm talking about when you hear me say that, dear listener. Go back to the start of the show, and you'll know why I've thought it's Friday all day. But Thursday at 5:30 means one thing.
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yeah!
Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
All right, we kind of got three buckets and never read the comments today. First of all, if you're new to the show, welcome. What we do is we take the best of this show, chop it up, put it on YouTube at the Team 980 and at my YouTube page at Craig Hoffman. We also have episodes of Take Command there as well and the occasional original program on the YouTube side of things. And what we do is we then let you comment because that's how YouTube works. And then we take the best, and best is a relative term. Could be thought-provoking, could be funny, could be interesting, could be dumb, and we want to dunk on you. We take the best comments, we put them here in our little Google document, and we read them and respond to them. And Anthony, there were three buckets of, or three videos that got a lot of traction this week that I want to comment on. One, some thoughts on the uniforms. This was actually before they were launched, our chat with Kevin Sheehan, but some of the comments, as you'll see, were definitely people finding that video after the release. And then Terry McLaurin contract situation. And then separate, totally, NBA. You ready to go?
I'm ready. Let's get to it, baby.
All right. Very excited Anthony Haney, after he missed a week of comments, is fired up and ready to go. Joey, Anthony, did you just delete the – you just deleted the comment? Or no, you didn't. Okay. I think – did you? I don't know. My whole browser just, like, freaked out for a second. I think we're good. And you're the only other person in the document, and I wasn't touching anything. My hands were up.
My cursor's all the way at the top of the screen. So I don't think I deleted anything.
All right. I think we're good. All right. Joey DiDonato, K3U5U, says, these are the new generation Super Bowl uniforms. And then Jeffrey Kopfel, 2304, says, yes, please make them permanent. So, and this, by and large, Anthony, was the reaction that I saw. We took calls yesterday, and it's funny because every caller was kind of like shouting down, yelling at the bring the name back crowd, except for there aren't that many of them. Just like people are psyched with this. The reaction was positive. And so there's no need to shadow fight the people that do exist. It's not no one. And if you're listening right now and you're like, I'm one of those people, okay, fine. Like, you do you. But I do think by and large, like 75, 80, 90% of all feedback I saw across social media platforms, across calls, things that I heard on other shows, everything, people are just buzzing over these uniforms. And I love that first comment from Joey, who's like, you know, because these are like the Super Bowl era uniforms. And it's like, yeah, it's about to be the Super Bowl era again. That's the attitude you should have as a fan. That's what rooting for a football team is about. It's about hope. It's about moving forward. It's about being like, yeah, that thing that happened that I loved, let's do it again.
Yeah, nah, I mean,
let's go.
Nah, I definitely love the energy. And the thing is, like, my generation, or I guess, like, you know, I guess people that were born in 91 and earlier than that, like, they really got to, like, witness all of this and, you know, experience these uniforms. And my generation didn't necessarily have that same experience. So, you know, just to, like, have some of that, you know, brought over and, you know, be able to, you know, share with, you know, the previous generation, I think is pretty cool. And hopefully,
not to mention,
know,
like, this is the uniforms kind of, even though it wasn't the Super Bowl era, it was the be really bad at football era. It's still like the uniform you had as a kid. Like,
yeah,
you went to school and you're wearing the local team's uniform. Like, this is the uniform you were wearing. So there's still some nostalgia to it.
Yeah.
Even if it's like, yeah, it also makes me think of bad football. And 87 different quarterbacks and 42 head coaches and one long gone owner somewhere on a boat somewhere enjoying his money and nothing else. You can still be poor while being wealthy. Johnny Dodger, 9426, says, I'm 52, grew up seeing Washington win three Super Bowls from the age of eight. I'm a lifer. I wanted to pick this one because I think this is very cool, Anthony. I also worked for the NFL in their design department around the time we did the Seahawks uni refresh. That was a nice, quote-unquote, modernization for the Seahawks brand. I expect Washington to release a similar tie-in with the pass, but the feel is a bit more aggressive. They will certainly avoid any of the political pitfalls. I agree with Kevin, as this is a comment on our chat with Kevin Sheehan about this. I agree with Kevin about the business focus on the new generation and a brand that a younger generation would be proud to wear. The designer in me wants those helmets to look like the Mandalorian. I think, one, that's cool that you never know who's commenting on your videos. But, like, the Seahawks were kind of a classic. I mean, they really changed things, but it was also still very, very much them. And I think that's what's cool about what Washington did here was they really just said what we had was good. Like, we're not going to mess with it. Maybe a couple tweaks. And what I'm curious to see, I think, moving forward is, like, does the W get an upgrade? I think it has become synonymous with the team. I know there's a version that has, like, the monument in it. And obviously the color of the current W is the, I don't know whether to call it new or old, is the rebranded burgundy, not the original burgundy that is now what's old is new again. I could see them redoing the W with the burgundy and gold and maybe adding something more distinct to it. Whether that happens sooner, later, like, cause you don't have to do, like, the NFL will charge you basically to do a full rebrand. But if you want to just update, I think it's, you can do it more cost efficiently. Obviously it still costs a lot of money because all your signage, all your everything has to change. But if they wanted to play this out over the course of years and they're willing to wait, if they did it all with the new stadium and RFK, then you're having to pay for new everything anyway. So I do wonder, like, what's possible there. But that's just, it's my brain thinking for 30 seconds. They have people paid a whole lot of money to think about it for a lot longer than 30 seconds.
Yeah, were the Seahawks, I guess, new uniform, were those the start of the color, what is it, the colorway?
The color rush?
Yeah, the color rush.
Yeah, that was kind of around that time. They were definitely, I feel like, one of the first ones. But, like, these new, like, super modern-looking uniforms,
yeah,
like, almost futuristic-looking, although I guess the future is now, like, compared to the old, duller, like, bluer, like, it just, it, like, the Seahawks now are, like, have an electricity to them.
Yeah.
Right? The old ones didn't. They felt a lot more 90s.
Yeah.
And so I do think that there's a chance to, like, can you do an electrified version of the old colorway that still feels modern? But I think for the uniforms, like, they kind of did. Like, it's just, it's a really sharp, clean, I love the whites. It's perfect. All right. How soon until we see a number 17 in any shade of burgundy? and gold. I thought these comments were really interesting in taking the pulse of the fan base, Anthony, on the Terry McLaurin contract situation. Avatar 7x7 or 7x7 says, Terry is smart and knows that on any given play, your career could be done. So he's using the leverage he has to get a deal done. The man plays all out and is fearless when making catches that most receivers wouldn't be willing to take that big hit. Terry has manned up every time. What's that quote from the Matt Damon movie? Pay that man his money. So clearly, I think that the fan base is on Terry's side here. And this is what happens when you are the lone bright spot through the previous doldrums era, when you conduct yourself the right way, when you're someone who the fans can genuinely be proud of, to be like, that guy's my favorite player. That guy plays for my team. That guy's a member of my community. Which leads to a pretty interesting series of comments that I want to read. I want to read all of these in a row, and then we'll get into some of the discussion on Anthony. But it starts with Ralph, Ralph Wells, 4654, who says, I feel like an old man, but I got to make this font bigger on my computer. Just it's a lot of comments in here, Anthony. All right, Ralph Wells, 4654, says, the fan base will never forgive AP, the front office, and ownership if Terry is forced to become a disgruntled player. No tags and no trades. Pay him like a top $30 million receiver. Pay Terry what he wants and figure the rest out. He is Terry McLaurin, full stop. Jason Marr, 8, says, above all else, I think it sends a message to the team if they don't sign him soon. He's done everything the right way, stuck it through the bad times, then exploded with a real quarterback last season. What does it say to the rest of the locker room if the poster child for hard work doesn't get rewarded? Reality is the team holds most of the leverage, but they also know they won't be the same offensive juggernaut without him. I'm okay with overpaying simply because he's a baller, a hard worker, and the definition of a commander. I'd be sick if he ended up somewhere else. And last thing, Big NRGCO says, really love the show, guys. Question, do you think this huge microscope on Terry, his ability, his quote-unquote tier, his age, his production, that has now become a national conversation, helps or hurts the Jaden Daniels-Terry McLaurin connection? You must admit this dispute, whichever side of the holdup, has us all looking at production for Terry and now JD by fault with a much bigger lens. Lastly, Terry is my favorite player. I've been a fan since 1981, and we've never had a fan favorite like Terry, even with Art, CP, Lorenzo Alexander, Donnie Warren, Chris Cooley, etc. He's our heartbeat. He's worth the extra $3 million or whatever. Value includes the intangibles. If it's not prohibitive, get the deal done. Keep rocking. The thing I just don't really understand. Like, I think the thing that is probably underappreciated the most by fans here is Adam Peters has never negotiated. And I'll just say the thing. Adam Peters has never negotiated a deal like this as a general manager, which is not to say he's messing it up because he's inexperienced. What I mean by that is he has to draw some level of line in the sand where he's like, I'm not going to be a pushover general manager. At the same token, I think it's really important that if you preach certain things, you practice them. And because the Commanders have the financial flexibility, not just this year, but next year, to do exactly that, to be like, you want to know what? You want $31 million, and we think you should be getting $30. That way you can check your box, but like you're insistent on $31 or $32. Like, I don't think $1 or $2 million, again, it's not my money. It's not my cash. So Josh Harris might be like, that's not how we're going to do business. But for the general manager side of it, from a cap standpoint, I just don't think the extra $1 or $2 million is going to matter. And so, while yes, the year three, every cent is going to matter because that's where you're starting to get an extension territory for Jaden. I believe it will be the third year of this deal with Terry because you're extension eligible after year three. That was year one. So, if it's two more years, yeah. So, that third year, that matters a lot. And if that is what they're fighting over, then Adam Peters is just going to have to eat you know what publicly. Notice how there haven't been any leaks from the Commander side to be like, oh, Jade or Terry is isn't worth it. Like, there hasn't been any of the bickering that sometimes you get with these things where this guy, like, they have not said a word, as far as I can tell, to anyone about this. But if there is a real, like, disagreement over year three, then I understand why this is taking so long. If not, I kind of don't. And if I was Adam, I feel like I'd be trying to push as much as I can into years one and two, which is not typical of how contracts work. But like in terms of the guarantees, I'm trying to front load it. That way by year three, I have ultimate flexibility. And look, if Terry's not available in year, if he does fall off in one of the next 2 years and you cut him in year three because you need that money for Jaden, okay. And you have other, like, you need that money for Mikey. You need that that money for Johnny, because those guys ball out and they're all extension eligible. And you want to operate like the Eagles, where you get ahead of stuff. Like, that's a discussion you have with a 33-year-old Terry McLaurin. Having that discussion with 30-year-old Terry McLaurin, when he just had his best season ever and has shown zero signs of slowing down and is the heartbeat of your team, his reps better be asking for something crazy for this deal to be taken, as long as it does. And that's what I just don't know, and why I think this deal is probably being held up.
If this deal gets done next week while you're out, mm-hmm. are you calling into the show?
I would, if you guys want to call me, I would come on the show.
I mean, I was just curious.
I'm not going to like call in and be like, hey, it's Craig in LA. but no, I would come on the show and talk about it if you want me to.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's going to get done, like, sooner rather than later.
It's absolutely getting done next week while
just,
I'm gone.
We just are, you know, a little impatient.
You just put the jinx on it, Ant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, everybody. I haven't gone on vacation sooner.
It's all right.
You know, it'll get done. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Last but not least, we have Ben Golliver on the show. And Ben is the national NBA writer for the Washington Post. He's awesome. It's great to have him on, especially because, as Anthony knows, Ben and I just play like phone tag for a month. We try to get him on during the finals and draft time and free agency, and it just never worked. And then at the end of free agency, finally, we were able to connect. He's so good. I was really glad we had him. But I love this screen name, Anthony. City Fent, 4246. Not 50 Cent.
Yeah.
City Fent.
City Fent.
4246. You know, the title of the video, that the way we put it up on YouTube was, has the NBA pushed too far in the name of parody? And City Fent said, silly question. It's like saying, has the league reffed games too fairly? Why should any teams have a built-in advantage? The league should always encourage parody. That's what fair competition is. Anything less is WWE. And City Fent, I think you have missed the premise. That's not what parody is, in this case. Parody means you're pushing everyone towards the middle. You are restricting teams' abilities to be better than average. That to me is like, here, let's look at what parity is by like Webster's definition. But to me, when I think of parity and competitive balance, that's what I mean. Yeah, the state or condition of being equal, especially regarding status or pay. Here's the thing. Not all these players and teams perform equally in terms of roster building. And so my issue and what Ben and I were talking about was, how do you reward, like, how do you not have parity for the sake of parity, but how do you reward the teams that do a good job? And that's a very different thing than parity. Parity says, no matter how well you do, we're ultimately going to pull you back to the middle. As opposed to, hey, you drafted really, really well, which is the way that we have said is the way you want to build, or we've done well in free agency, but now we can't keep the team together because it's too expensive. That's what the hard cap, second apron, does. That's what, or the second apron's acting as a hard cap. That's what that does. The first apron and the penalties and the luxury tax and all those things. Those are trying to pull great teams back down and distribute the talent so that everyone is equal. That is not fair to me. It is parity. And so I think that we should think about that as a league, especially a league that has been built on dynasties over the year. Lakers, Celtics, Bulls, Lakers again, Warriors, etc., etc. And that gets to this from Hooponomics 1423, who said, great discussion. The idea of exempting homegrown Supermax deals like Shea's shouldn't mean a full exemption, but maybe it's time to rethink how they count. Because I had said, as I've said for years, I think a great solution would be on these Supermax deals, which, by the way, since this video less than a week ago, the Thunder have signed two more of them. They have just decided to pay Supermaxes to Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Chet Holmgren, or I guess he got a max, and then Jalen Williams got a Supermax because he's made All-NBA. Or could make it if he makes it again next year. Anyway, point is, those guys have gotten the absolute most money they could from the Oklahoma City Thunder, and that is more money than they can get from any other team. That's stupid. That means you're bargaining against yourself. And so my idea has always been, let the teams in cash, so what the player gets, offer a supermax, so there's incentive for the player to stay and rewarding the homegrown talent, the teams that draft well, that do a good job, while not having it count extra against the cap versus if they left. That way, it's an even competitive playing field, and there's a reward for teams that do a good job in the draft. So, what if the cap hit at half their value instead of the full amount? That would reward teams for drafting developing stars without letting them stack endlessly. The Warriors are a great case. They drafted Steph, Clay, and Draymond. They re-signed Draymond, but couldn't bring back Clay without pushing over the second apron cliff. The cliff is the issue. Once you cross it, it's a hard stop. A graduated slope plus a partial cap credit for homegrown stars should preserve parity and continuity. We're thinking about for the next CBA. Yeah, like, they got to figure out something, because this is ridiculous. You can't have, especially if a guy gets hurt and, oh my God, we're going to be cash strapped for a year. We'd be willing to pay the luxury tax, but our star is hurt. Hello, Indiana Pacers. And now they're letting Miles Turner walk. They're blowing up the team. Like, That's bad for fans. It's bad for GMs. I don't know that it's actually great for players either. I don't know who wins here besides teams that are mediocre or bad that get an artificial amount of talent available because they've stunk in building their team in other ways. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, we have cap space because all our players are bad and we haven't had to sign anybody.
Yeah, this is a weird, you know, situation, and quite frankly, I don't have the answer to it either. I mean, I think you and Ben probably had a great discussion about it.
You can listen to it anywhere you get your podcasts. Apple, Spotify.
I need to.
You'd enjoy it. You listen to it on your ride home today. You don't hear enough of my voice. Or maybe, you know what? Save it for next week while I'm gone, because you'll miss me. You'll miss me when I'm gone, Anthony.
I will.
The other problem, though, is you don't want to make it too, like, because fans follow the transaction so much, mm-hmm. it's already basically impossible to, like, and all these picks, like, they get the more favorable of the pick swap of these four teams and the second most favorable, but only if the moon is in a waxing gibbous. And you're like, what? Simplifying some of this would also go a long way. And I think simple would probably reward teams that are good. And simple would also make it easier to follow for everyone. All right. That's Never Read the Comments here on The Hoffman Show. If you'd like to leave a comment, follow us, or subscribe, I should say, at the Team 980, and of course at Craig Hoffman. When we get back here on The Hoffman Show, The Athletic senior baseball writer Keith Law joins us. Keith, former Major League Baseball executive, now senior writer for The Athletic. Who should the Nats be looking at, and who are they looking at? The number one pick in the draft. Plus, we'll get his thoughts on Mike DiBartolo, the man who will be making the pick instead of Mike Rizzo. All that and more next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.